So Lord, we come before you, truly crying, holy, 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 great are you, Lord. God, there is no one like you. There is no one that is the perfect balance of grace and truth. There is no one that has conquered death. Lord, make it clear today how good you are. Lord, for the soul that's come in and is skeptical, help them to see your grace. Help them to get a little bit more clarity as to who you are. Make your name known. Help us to unite under the banner that is King Jesus, Jehovah Nisi. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes affixed on you, no matter the direction of the culture, whether it's to or from or anything in between. Your word is consistently true, and we believe that. Help us to be people that live that and proclaim that and to stand firm on what we know. So Lord, help us to understand the times as we dive into the message today. Help us to truly know what we are up against in our world, in our nation, in our culture, in our community. Help us to see what the enemy's doing, so that we can best be equipped to proclaim the gospel. So God, we ask that you help us to be the church, not just in these four walls, but outside as we go about our daily lives. We ask that you speak so clearly today. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, hey, we're glad you're with us. If you're new, make sure that you grab that connection card on the back of the seat in front of you. Fill that thing out. Hand it in to the connection table there in the back. We'll get someone to reach out to you. We'll make sure that we get in touch, and we got a gift for you as well. But ultimately, we are just so glad and so grateful that you have joined us this morning. Now, if you are new, we are going through a series called Biblical Citizenship, Living Out the Gospel in Modern Day America. How do you do that? What does that look like? What does that mean? And it's very important today that we're going to jump into our study. It's very important that to know who you are living for, which is King Jesus, that you also understand what you're up against. You know, in sports, they a lot of times before a game, they'll spend the week prior studying their opponent. They'll see, if you're watching baseball, they'll see what the pitcher throws. If you're watching football, certain moves that the quarterback might make. I'm not one that's too big into all that. But I do know that there is a lot of time studying the work of the opponent so that you can best know how to play and what you're up against. So today, what we're going to do is jump into the topic, understanding the times. Understanding the times. And what I want to do before we jump is give you a few statistics that are utterly important as we dedicate our time to understanding the times. Let me start by reading you a few statistics discovered by the Barna Group just a few short years ago. Listen closely to this. 3 out of 5 Americans believe that there is no moral truth. 4 out of 5 millennials believe that there is no moral truth. Listen to this. 1 out of 2 Christians, 50%, believe that there is no moral truth. 80% of Christians, hear this, 80% of Christians believe that other religions will get you into heaven. Why do I start this message by sharing these statistics with you this morning? Because understanding the time that we are living in is absolutely essential as we seek to live out our faith, but not just live it out, share it, as we have been commissioned to do by the one true King and the author of truth. We are living in a world where truth is no longer just simply not believed, but it's also rejected. Anything you say goes, and if you disagree with the powerful, all of a sudden you're suppressed and you're censored. This is why in the day that we are living in, knowing the truth is just not enough. You have to love the truth. But knowing the truth is important nonetheless, amen? So if you could, please turn with me. 2 Thessalonians, we're going to be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. This is Paul's second letter to the church at Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. If you don't have a Bible, grab the one in front of you. I'll be using that same translation. You can take that home with you if you don't have one. It's yours to keep. 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Are you there? Yeah, all right. Let's start by reading verses 1 through 4. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Now listen. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Our first point for us this morning, we're going to stop right there. To understand the times, it's very simple. You must know the truth. To understand the times, you must know the truth. What Paul is doing here, I'll give you some context, he's writing a letter to the church in Thessalonica, and this letter is addressing some confusion that is being spread throughout the church regarding the second coming of Christ. So in this first letter, the 1 Thessalonians, Paul elaborated quite a bit on the subject of the return of Jesus. And after what Paul wrote, when he started to detail this return of Jesus, the church here in Thessalonica, they started to draw assumptions, and they started to receive information outside of this letter, and they started to kind of go all over the place in terms of what they know to be true regarding the return of Jesus. Now, thankfully, there's no more disagreements on what that's going to look like today, right? You can laugh. That's a joke. But because of this confusion surrounding the end of time that quickly developed, Paul felt that it's necessary to write a second letter. He wanted to revisit these things and bring further clarity to the points that he was making in the first letter. So, of course, Paul elaborates what he said, right? He says, he elaborates on it. He says, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus, he spells out, kind of reiterating what he said in the first letter. But what's important to notice is that he points out that the main reason, listen closely, the main reason that there is so much confusion is because the church is listening to outside sources from someone that knew very little or really nothing at all about the subject at hand. The church here was believing things that they had no business even listening to. Paul wrote, don't be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter that's seeming to be from us to the effect that of the day of the Lord has come. He said, let no one deceive you. You hear that? Let no one deceive you in any way. Paul saw the harm that was stirring up in Thessalonica because of the fact that they were listening to outside voices. They were listening to the voices of the world. And when you listen to the voices outside of God's word, you know what happens? You start to get anxious. You start to notice fear stirring up within you. Doubt starts to overcome and overwhelm your life, and your decisions, disagreement begins to get in your life with those close to you. So the first thing that Paul does is he brings clarity to the issue at hand, but he's also bringing awareness to the fact that the church is really starting to take heed to these outside voices, and it's because of these deceptive and unreliable voices that this division is starting to occur. Notice how he also brings up this point. Spirits are starting to have an influence on what they hear and ultimately what they believe. We have a spirit inside of us, right, Christians? We have a spirit inside of us. For those that are followers of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit, and this is the most powerful spirit ever known to humanity. Can I get an amen, somebody? We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, but it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit is not the only spirit that is living in the world, okay? The battle that we face, Paul said this, it's not against flesh and blood. It's rather one that is against the rulers. It's against the authorities. It's against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. And then listen, it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. These spiritual forces, they're at war all around you. They're at war all around me. They're at war all around us. And this spiritual force that I'm talking about, this is not some sort of New Age conspiracy. These spiritual forces, they are the enemy, and they seek to kill, and they seek to devour, and they seek to destroy. Though we cannot see into the spiritual realm, we can see when these evil spirits gain control. We can see the effect that these evil forces have on our day-to-day lives. These spiritual forces, they can gain control of things that are in our world and impact us. Why do I say that? Because I believe one of the enemy's greatest weapons today is control over the media. Pushing false information. Or even worse, censoring that which is true is work that comes directly from the devil. Whoever controls the media controls the mobs. This includes cable news. This includes newspapers. This includes, listen, big tech, social media, and everything in between. When the owners of these media sources no longer decide to be journalists, pushing stories, but rather political activists pushing an agenda, they then have the power to filter what perspective is spread far and wide. Maybe the term that you've heard of is this content moderation, right? That's a nice sticker to put on something that is very evil. This is simply a politically correct way of saying that the owners or those with power are going to decide which messages are going to be shared. And then you hear the excuse, oh, it's the algorithm. And when the owners' beliefs, the ones that are in control of what goes out, when the owners' beliefs are different from that of the Christian, or dare I say, anti-Christian, all of a sudden, the biblical perspective is suppressed and the ungodly agenda is pushed forward. This is modern day censorship. We're seeing this in regards to so much today that we are living in. You can think of the government shutdown and the reasons that it's happening. One says one thing, the other says another. The way that the Hamas-Israel war is being covered, all of this stuff is being done with censorship. Paul reminds us that the reason that they're becoming divided as a church is because they're straying from the fact that God's word is truth. And when anything else tries to get in your mind, those are attacks from the enemy, and you must No, not to be shaken. You must not be alarmed, and you must not be deceived. The truth of God's word spoke to be true 2,000 years ago, and it is still true and speaks into the events of our day today, and that has not changed. Paul then brings into the discussion, he says this, we're not going to get into eschatology this morning, okay? We studied end times for about a year going through Revelation. That's not the point that I'm trying to make, okay? Let's get back to the text. Paul brings into the discussion this man of lawlessness. Now, many believe that this is referring to the arrival of the Antichrist and its influence that it's going to have on the world, because at the arrival of the Antichrist, all of law is no longer going to exist. But what the apostle is doing here is he's laying the groundwork for the coming of Christ. He's saying that the man of lawlessness, he's going to be known throughout the entire world when he's about to return, when Jesus is about to return. But equally important is the time of rebellion that will come before the man of lawlessness appears. So there's going to be this heavy, hard, dark time of rebellion. Paul is warning the church that at a time when you see rebellion becoming escalated, and when right becomes looked at as wrong, and when wrong is all of a sudden looked at as the right thing to do, that's when you really need to be grounded in God's word. There's going to be so many spirits and things that are in the world that are going to sway you, but Paul's saying, do not veer. Do not listen to these outside voices. Stay grounded. Do not veer to the left or to the right, no matter how big the waves are that come. This is why, church, it is so important to be spending time in the Word of God for yourself. This is why it is so important to guard your family and guard your children. This is why it is so important to find a church that does that too. And the best way to guard your family is to first know what you're guarding them from and who you are pointing them to. You're guarding them from the evil that the media is spewing, and you're pointing them to what? The love and the grace of Jesus. Let's make this practical. You know, young kids, little kids, they absorb so much. Come on, somebody, give me an amen. Yeah. So when you point your kids to the truth at a very young age, it really doesn't take them long to grasp and understand the truth. And when they have a solid grip on the truth from even a young age, they can begin to discern at just a few years old what's right and what's wrong and what's good and what's bad. And let me tell you this, it's better to teach them when they are young, because if you don't, the world's sure going to teach them. Trust me, I know from experience. My kids don't let Amanda and I get away with anything in our house. Okay, they see something that is even the slightest bit off, my oldest, and she goes, "That's not fair." The second that something is in the wrong that she doesn't like, she says, "It's not fair." You know, it's quite sad the amount of television shows that we have had to stop my kids from watching. It's quite sad the amount of books that we have had to take out of my kids' hands because of the evil agenda that's behind it. And let me tell you this, it's never on page one. It's never in the first 5 minutes of the first episode you watch. It's always about 5, 6, 7 episodes in. And once you start to get attached to it, they have to drop the wokeness in there. Of course, when we take this away from them, we try to explain the best we can, and they're never excited about it. But I'm holding to the promise that years down the road, when they're standing on the truth, and they are able to better discern what's good and what's evil, they will be more than grateful. They need to know that there is an enemy out there. But they also need to understand that there is a God who loves them so much. And when you know the truth and apply it to your life, Man, the joy that comes into your soul is something that you cannot comprehend, and it doesn't depend on the enemy. But what a shame it is, right? What a shame it is that we have to protect our kids in our own households. But it's when we stay grounded on God's word that we can't be shaken or deceived, because it's God's word that never returns void and never fails. Paul says, let no one deceive you. Church, I mimic those words to you this morning. Let no one deceive you. The best way to know who's trying to deceive you is by trusting the one who has already received you, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's keep reading. Verses 5 through 8. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he's out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. Point number 2, to understand the times, you must hate the lies. You must hate the lies. Now Paul is saying, don't you remember when I was with you? He's saying, don't you remember? He's reminding this church in Thessalonica of what's true and what's necessary. He says, don't you remember? He then reiterates what he says. He says, you know what's restraining him? Referring to this man of lawlessness. He says, you know what's restraining this man of lawlessness right now, so that he may be revealed in his time? Paul says, yes, this man of lawlessness is coming and is even already in the world today, but you know what's restraining him? The Holy Spirit. The people of God, the church. This is exactly what Jesus was saying when he looked at his disciples and he said, you are the salt and the light of the earth. This is who he's referencing when right before he went up to heaven, he says, I'm going to send you a helper. He said, you are the reason that there are any sort of morals on this side of eternity. You are the reason that the world has not gone down the tank. You are the reason that the lawless have not been able to just run all over the place. You are the reason that darkness is being held back. And then he said, you are the reason that the world still has hope. The church is holding back the evil that is to come. I'm going to say that point blank. The church is holding back evil that is to come. What we need to understand is that holding back evil is an active pursuit, not a passive assumption. Okay? Holding back evil is an active pursuit, not a passive assumption. You don't just sit and watch the world fall to pieces and then say, well, someone should do something about this. Or God's got this. I'm just going to sit here in this comfortable chair and just watch everything, just see how it goes. No, you do something about it. We do something about it. That is our job. We have living inside of us the one that is holding back all lawlessness. We have the Spirit inside of us that, as we learned last week, spurs us to good works. It spurs us. It gives you a burning desire to renounce that which is ungodly. But in order to do so, you must understand the times. You must know your enemy. And I got to say this, you stand no chance against the enemy if you aren't in tune with the Holy Spirit and grounded in the truth of his word. Amen. You must carry God's word in one hand, and be careful with this, and your weapon in the other. You must have, as Billy Graham said, you must have God's word in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Maybe today you can say you must have the Bible in one app and the news in the other. Paul reminds the church in Thessalonica that when they're beginning to lose sight of the truth, don't you remember what I told you? Don't you remember? Hope Community Church, don't you remember what God has told you? Don't you remember the commission that he has given us? Don't you remember the promise that the one who is within you is greater than the one who is in the world? Paul reminds the church to not lose sight of the truth. He then says, he ends verse 8 with really ultimate hope. Hope with a capital H. He says, after the lawlessness begins to gain traction, the one that causes it's going to be revealed. And then to top it all off, that one, he's going to be conquered. Paul writes, the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The lawlessness, listen, the lawlessness of the world is going to come. That's a promise. The one that causes this evil is going to gain power. That's a promise. But my friend, there is a time that is coming that this enemy, this prince of darkness, this evil spirit will be conquered once and for all. And that is a promise. Paul is making clear this because he's making this point clear because he wants the church to understand that even though what you're hearing, and even though this news is being reported to you is so evil, do not lose hope because King Jesus will soon put an end to all of it. The battle is worth fighting because it only needs to be fought for so long. How does that song go? We know how the story ends. There is coming a day where you will be able to sit in front of the King of Kings and hear these words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." My friend, how will you feel on that day, sitting in front of Jesus, having lived in modern day America? Will you be able to say with a clear conscience that you stood up for Jesus when the world didn't want you to? Will you be able to look at him in the face and say from the bottom of your heart that you gave it everything you had, even though you were hated for it? Or will you put your head down because you're embarrassed that you bent your knee to the culture? Let us be a people that understand the times, knowing the one who's in control and leading the charge of pointing the culture to the truth and the author of it. Let's keep reading. Verses 9 through 12. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. To understand the times, final point. The first one we said, you must know the truth. The third point and final point, to understand the times, you must love the truth. Now Paul says there's people that are perishing. And the reason is simply because they refuse to love the truth. This is why you look around at our world today and you hear that there's 80% of Americans that they believe that there's no moral truth, and 50% of Christians believe the same, which is so weird to put in the same sentence. And then you see that the nation is more confused and broken and hurting than it ever has been before. But Paul said right here, he said, hey, the reason that's going to happen is because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. You see, it's one thing to know the truth. It's a whole other ballgame to love the truth. In order to be saved by the truth, you have to love the truth. It's when you love the truth, you are set free. But then Paul writes, he writes here about what results, it's like a recipe. What results from believing the lies of the world? If you don't love the truth, then delusion comes. And when you believe these lies that are from the world, there is a high cost. And there's a lot of consequences. Putting it simply, believing a lie always causes harm. Believing a lie always causes harm. That's why when you try to have a conversation with someone that has fallen into believing these lies, where you want to share the truth, where you want to be graceful in the way that you share it, and you try, and then all of a sudden anger becomes overwhelming in them, and the conversation quickly gets turned into an argument, and it doesn't go anywhere, and it just seems to be getting louder and louder. It's because an empty barrel makes the loudest noise. When you meet a lie with the truth, the lie, it gets exposed. And a lot of times the result is one of two things, repentance or anger. But Jesus said these words. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Many people know Jesus. But do they love Jesus? James said, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You see, it's when you love the truth that you are set free. And the beautiful thing about the truth that we know is that the truth is a person. And I want to tell you this morning. He is waiting for you with his arms wide open. He doesn't care if you've been running to and from. He doesn't care what lies that you have bought into. He doesn't care what you have done. What he cares about is you coming to him and accepting the forgiveness that only he can offer. It's when you accept this forgiveness and understand in the depth of your soul that he has died on the cross and rose again for you, that you can have peace. No matter what the times of our day may bring. My friend, I want you to hear this morning. God sees you. God knows you. And God loves you. And God wants you to be set free. The gospel is more relevant now than it ever has been before. Do you believe it? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us your word to trust in times when all seems untrustworthy. We thank you that you have pointed us to your son, Jesus. We ask that you help us to do the same. In the world that we live in, only you can use the chaos for your glory. So give us the courage. Give us the grace. Overflow our hearts so that our mouths can speak of what you have done for us. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.